Bucci Gras is one of our favorite all-time personalities at ESPN, and I texted him yesterday. I said, come on with Jerry and me and make us seem less stupid about things National Hockey League. He's agreed to do that. John Bucci Gras joins us on the AT&T hotline, AT&T 4G LTE. Good morning, JB. How are you?
Well, that was your exact text.
Yeah, it was my exact text.
Your journalism has not slipped. I need your sources now.
Hey, are we looking at a nuclear spring here in the National Hockey League with Detroit out, the Rangers maybe out, Pens gone, Canucks gone, Blackhawks maybe gone, and maybe the Bruins as well? What must Bettman be thinking right now?
Yeah, the second and third round ratings are going to suffer for sure. They're not going to be as good. We're losing great hockey markets. You know, the ridiculous format that has these four or five matchups anyway, are so dumb. They should do it, you know, by total point. It doesn't matter if you win your division. So as a result, we lose either Pittsburgh or Philly. We lost Pittsburgh, and then in the West, either Nashville or Detroit. We lose to Detroit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's part of the master plan to put these non-traditional warm weather population growing markets, and you know, over time, maybe these playoff performances by these teams will help them long-term and help the league. We'll see.
Is that what the league thinks? Because ratings aside, is this something they want, this new blood?
Well, Gary Bettman's original plan was to put a team in Raleigh and Tampa and Phoenix and then get a big national TV deal. Mm-hmm. But that didn't quite work out. I mean, the last TV deal wasn't terrible with NBC and Comcast, I should say. That worked, you know, that 10-year deal, and they got a lot more money than they did before, and maybe in 10 years, you get these Phoenixes and these other traditions, these other non-traditional markets, population-growing markets at the time, some not so much anymore, then you'll get a bigger TV deal, a bigger pie.
Hey, do you ever wonder, John, I mean, you do a lot of talking, a lot of tweeting, a lot of writing, blogging about the NHL. Do you ever wonder if it's all just pointless, that analysis is futile because weird bounces, weird things happen, and as we see now, you know, upsets are the order of the day and nothing seems to stay true to form?
Yeah, there are some numbers that play out over time, and those are the ones I try to find and the ones I pay attention to. Teams that can score goals usually win the Stanley Cup. Very rarely the non-top 10 goal-scoring teams win the Cup. And so if you're not a top 10 goal-scoring team, your chances are very low. Occasionally a team will do that. The two of the three Devils teams were not good goal-scoring teams. One was the second best in the league. People kind of don't give the Devils credit for that team, but the other teams were not. And we have a couple teams this year in the postseason who don't score a lot of goals, and we have some teams like the Bruins who now are the highest remaining goal-scoring team who score goals. So usually that will favor the higher goal-scoring team. But, yeah, there's bounces, and there's a seventh year of the salary cap, and that certainly has put everybody together now, and the margin for error has never been less than it is now league-wide.
Okay, good. Now give us your analysis of the Bruins, Caps, Game 7 at Boston, at the Garden. Are you with Melrose? Do you believe everything points to another Bruin Game 7 victory?
Well, it does. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Bruins are an excellent road team. They won more games away from the Garden than in the Garden this year. I like that. That's a sign of character. Those teams who have terrible road records are usually the teams that don't have much spine. And so they have, you know, so obviously they have character. Like I said, they're the highest goal scoring team left in the playoffs. But they're also, unlike a lot of high goal scoring teams, like the Penguins and the Flyers and teams like that, they're a good goal prevention team too. We know about their Game 7 experiences last year. They won three of them, one on the road, and then, of course, the two at home against Montreal and Tampa Bay. So they've been there recently. Sagan is coming along, one of their better players, and they have so many people that I think all the signs do point to them winning.
Plus, you have an experienced goaltender who seems to rise to this occasion versus one who is unproven at this level in a Game 7, cauldron.
Right. Now Thomas hasn't been as good as last year, and that's one of the problems. You know, last year was just an epic performance in the postseason. His numbers have slipped a hair, but a hair can mean that one goal in the third period and late in the third period to force overtime or one in overtime. So, I mean, it should be a tight game. Washington's going to play very conservative. They're going to dump it and chase it. I don't think you're going to see the turnovers you saw yesterday when they smell blood. Dale Hunter is experienced. He does have a nice calm demeanor behind the bench, which I think helps them really well compared to the Bruce Boudreau days, who's really jumpy. So I think he'll help them in a Game 7, being a former player and being a very calm guy behind the bench.
John, I'm going to ask a question that I asked you exactly a year ago, and we ask every hockey analyst and expert that was on the program. Can the Bruins go far in the playoffs with the power play as anemic as it is? I believe they're 2-for-17 now. Last year, the answer was no. At some point, it's going to bite them in the butt, and it did, but it really didn't because they won the Cup. I'm asking the same question a year later. Can they get to the Stanley Cup Finals with this kind of power play?
Well, you know, Tim Thomas gets his save percentage up to .940 again. It doesn't matter what they do. Obviously, right. He was the reason why they won the Cup last year. You know, more than anything else. And so if he's not going to be there again, and he's not right now, then eventually that should catch up with him. But yeah, again, they're such a great 5-on-5 team. That's their strength. That's what they're all about. And now they have, you know, they have so much speed now, and they have size, and they're tenacious, and they're nasty. They really have so many, of the hockey attributes you want in your players, right across the board. Heart and character and toughness and speed and skill. They have so much of it. They don't have to rely on one metric like the power play. But it sure would be nice to see someone like Milan Lucic. I don't understand why he's not a great playoff performer. I don't understand why he hasn't scored a goal. I don't understand why he can't get in front of the net and score on these power play goals. I never understood why he hasn't been a dominant power play performer. Like a Phil Esposito and a Cam Neely with that size, reach, a little bit of a release. Doesn't have the release of Esposito and Neely. He'll never have a Hall of Fame release like that. But I don't understand why he's not better.
Well, he made a great play from the game winner, setting up Sagan.
He's been good. That's the thing. You watch him. You know, he's a great skater. He's got huge size, and he's not complaining the way he's playing. But when you look at his playoff performance, you know, again, no goals this year and really only 5 last year. So, you know, I expect him to pick off his early playoff performances when he really get off to a good start, because he has the game and the body and the whole thing to really be a guy who's going to go out there and score. And, you know, so far he hasn't done that production-wise this postseason, but maybe tonight's going to be his big night. He breaks out. And that's why I talk about a lot of guys are due to break out for them. And I just wonder if this is going to be one of those blowout Game 7s like old school days, or it's going to go right down the wire again.
Hey, can you give us your expert opinion, John, on Ovechkin? I mean, I don't know what to make of him. He brings a lot of energy when he wants to. He had a goal, but it was a soft goal off the faceoff, and he missed the wide-open net. I mean, he just seems like he should be better. He should do more. My take is, of the two Alexanders on the Caps, Semin is better than I thought. Ovechkin is not as good as I thought.
Well, what I say, the game has changed since he came into the league post-lockout, when you weren't allowed to touch anybody. And so he skated around everybody in the NHL with his size and speed. And that's when he was pumping into 65 goals and 50 goals and 50 goals as a rookie. And, of course, the last 2 years he hasn't even got 40 because the league has allowed more to go on. Goal scoring has gone down every year since the lockouts. And that's why when after the lockout, Stanley Cup playoff teams were the ones who could score goals. Now this year, I said I really think this could be one of those years where we don't have a top 10 goal scoring team win the Cup, and a Ranger team, a Blues team, or a Kings team that was second to last in scoring. That would never happen before. So goal scoring is down across the league, but he's always brought it in the postseason. That's why I do like him. Every postseason, he scores. He only has 2 this series, but he does have 2. He could get 2 Wednesday, and then suddenly he has 4 for the 7-game series. That's right. What I'm talking about. Those guys, when I kind of go back to Lucic, I know Lucic is not an Ovechkin talent, but Ovechkin brings it every postseason. I think the problem with this team hasn't been him in the postseason. It's been everybody else.
Well, I'm looking
at an average team.
He's 37th. He was 37th in the league with 65 points this year, trailing Tyler Seguin, by the way. Is that? I mean, that's not productive enough for a guy of his with his skills, with his talent level.
No, but you know, he did have 38 goals. He almost got 40. Bastard was out for most of the year, so he didn't really have a guy that was going to score off his little passes or dump ins or create his own goals. So, I still think he scores goals in the playoffs. He scores goals when it matters. I think he'll be good on Wednesday. I don't think he's going to lay an egg. Semin's playing for a contract. He signed a 1-year deal because everyone knows he's a dog, and so he signed a 1-year deal. They were just hoping to get something out of him this year. I don't think he'll be back next year unless they win this series and keep going. Maybe they'll bring him back again, but he's a short-termer. So I would expect Alex Ovechkin to play very well in Game 7.
Hey, John, did the Flyers just beat Crosby into submission? I believe, I may be wrong, all of his 8 points came in the first four games and none in the last two. Did they just wear him out?
Yeah, I think the Penguins organization has to look in the mirror. I think they have a little bit of a case of hubris going on from top to bottom. And I think their defense is terrible. The Bruins, if I'm a Bruins fan, I would have begged for a Penguin matchup because they would have just crushed that defense. Their defense is average. Their goalie is way up and down. They have great forwards. But I think they need to look in the mirror and see maybe we're not as smart as we thought we were, and maybe we're not as good as we thought we were.
Hey, not getting ahead of ourselves here, do you like the Bruins-Ottawa matchup if it comes to that?
That's a good matchup for the Bruins because Ottawa's not a good defensive team. The Rangers are a terrible offensive team. That's why they're in the case they're in. That's the best matchup for the Bruins to play is the combination of Ottawa. They score more than Ottawa and give up a whole lot less than Ottawa.
So it sounds like you like the Bruins to come out of the East?
They're the best team left for sure. It's the one team. If I'm a Bruins fan, I hope the Rangers lose. That's the best competition for the Bruins. That'll be their toughest competition for the Bruins left. If the Rangers get knocked out, I think it's smooth sailing back to the Cup. Although those Flyer series with the Bruins are so strange the last couple of years, and they're a very formidable team, a great road team as well. But I think the Rangers are the toughest test for the Bruins left in the East.
Hey, I'd be curious to your take on this. We talked about this a lot last week. Do you think the league was happier with Game 3 of the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh series or Game 4? 3 was the violent, the crazy
mayhem
game, and 4 was different. It was 10-3, 10-4, whatever it was. Do these violent games? I'm not talking about Rafi Torres laying Hossa out and killing him, but I'm talking just seek and destroy. The way they play, the way a lot of teams play. Is that a good thing? Does Bettman like that? Does Shanahan like that? If nobody's laying on the ice bleeding out, do they think that is the best their product can be, and is that what they want?
Well, most of the NHL office likes it because most of them are Canadian, so there's no doubt that they like it. Bettman likes anything. He's just a total business guy. That's all he cares about. That's all he knows. We haven't heard from him during this entire postseason. Why doesn't he announce a suspension? Why does he allow Brendan Shanahan to do it? I mean, Roger Goodell announces suspensions. Roger Goodell talks about suspensions. So Gary Bettman is a businessman. We know that. And he's done a great job growing the league in terms of revenue. So he just cares what's going to create the most ratings and the revenue, with some eye on the image for the league for his sponsors. That's what he deals with, especially the big whales, the big whale sponsors that he tries to secure every year. So they like a lot of it. The fighting with Crosby and Giroux that's the best they could have because that gets attention. That the ratings in Canada and in the U.S. were the best for the Penguins and Flyers. That's what I talked about. One of those teams is now gone. That shouldn't be that way. Those should be second and third round matchups, not first round matchups. They both got 100 points this year. So the league likes it because obviously it gets a lot of attention, gets casual sports attention, like you said, without upsetting the soccer moms and they get too violent. So Sparky can go out and do the learn to skate in Rivia. So it's a fine line they have that they've always walked that fine line. How violent do we go, but not too violent?
Hey, are you sitting at the news desk right now? Can you tell us, is Vancouver burning?
And look, we can't even play more border with Brittle Luongo. There's plenty of Charmin left in Vancouver this morning. Can't even play.
Actually, we heard from somebody in Vancouver this morning. She texted us or tweeted us and said, no, nobody's rioting. We're just too sad this year to riot.
Yeah, they didn't plan ahead. They saw Game 7 coming once the Stanley Cup Finals begin. They planned well in Canada. They weren't ready to riot.
He's our hockey friend from ESPN, John Buchigross. John, thanks for taking the time. Always appreciate some conversation with you. We'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime, boys. Thanks.
John Buchigross with Dennis and Callahan on the AT&T Hotline. AT&T 4G LTE with speeds up to 10 times faster than 3G. AT&T, rethink possible.